whether positive or negative, right? And how we relate to people is important. God is a people person. Amen? He has more children than any parent. He has more relatives than any of us will ever have. Amen? And he's had relatives from the ages. And there is a family in heaven and on earth. And when Jesus returns again, he's going to invite us all to a huge party. And we are going to have a time. Amen?
Amen.
And but until we get to heaven, God wants us to be people also.
Amen.
Amen? And in order to be a good people person, we need to know how to relate to one another. We need to know how to interact and how to communicate with one another. And so we're talking about developing Christ-centered relationships. And that's important. As a believer in Christ, Jesus has to be in the center of everything that we do, everything that we're involved in. He wants to be the center of your marriage, okay? After all, he created marriage. Amen? And anything that God makes is good. Say marriage is good, all you married people. And the married people should say amen.
Amen.
Okay? And God created the family. And so he wants us to have good family relationships. And in the Bible, we see families who were messed up. Amen? And it caused a lot of problems. And then we see families that worked together and did great things. You know, then you have siblings. And in the Bible, there were sibling rivalries. You know, there should not be competition. The devil brings competition into families. God brings peace and harmony and unity. And then we have relationships that are outside of our, I mean, you can't help who your relatives are. You can't choose who your relatives are going to be, all right? And we all have in-laws and outlaws and all other kind of laws, right? Then there are relationships outside the family. There are friendships and working relationships. I mean, if you work at a job, you know you're going to be around people at some point or another, right? And so we need to know how to relate to people. And go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And in verses 1 and 2, he tells us here, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Did he follow that up with if you want to? Or if you feel like it? See, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you become a follower of God. Listen, did Jesus force you to accept him? Everyone who accepts him on their own free will. God doesn't make you. He gives you an offer you shouldn't refuse. But he doesn't make you. And we need to be followers of God. In other words, God needs to be the forefront of our life. And when you're following God, you're saying what he says, you're doing what he does, and you're treating people the way he does. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
And it's important to follow God as dear children. You know, it's so funny when we have steps at our house because we have a porch. And ever since Josiah was walking up down the steps, you know, I would always put my hand out. He goes, "Huh." I would put my hand out. He goes, "No." You know, now, being that we've had so much snow, our steps get slippery, and so he does hold my hand, but he wants to do it on his own, okay? But children are good followers, right? And then he says, how are we supposed to follow God? We're supposed to walk in love. How? As Christ also has loved us. So our love walk should reflect how Christ loves people. And Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, he enables us to love others. Matter of fact, he sheds his love abroad in your hearts. Every one of us have been equipped with the love of God. And every one of us can choose to walk in that love or not. Amen? We can choose to display that love. We can choose to walk in it. and has given himself for us. Love always gives. Love always initiates. Love doesn't take. Love gives. And just a word of encouragement for married couples, try to outgive one another. That's a good kind of competition that you can have. Amen? Try to outserve one another. As an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, every relationship that we have is governed by the law of love. Any relationship that you have after becoming a believer in Christ Jesus, love rules. You got to obey what love says. You got to do what love says. If you have any questions, ask love. Who's love? God is love. And if you're struggling in a relationship, God can help you work that relationship out. How many know that Esau and Jacob, in the early days, they didn't have too good of a relationship, did they? You know, first of all, Jacob weaseled out Esau's birthright. Because Esau wasn't concerned about his birthright. He wasn't concerned about spiritual things. He wasn't concerned about eternal things. But see, once he had the birthright, what came next was the blessing. Now, the blessing was very important because it was like a prophecy. It was like God's hand working on a person. And Jacob stole the blessing, right? He tried to pretend with the help of his mother. He put some hair on his arms, and he deceived Esau out of his blessing. And boy, I tell you what, Esau didn't want to have anything to do with that. And at that point, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Okay? They had some bad feelings between one of the brothers. And so Jacob's mom and dad sent him away. And there he connected with Laban, who was a relative. And while he was there at Laban's, he fell in love with Rachel. And you know what? He was willing to work for Rachel for 7 years on the first date. Now that's love. Amen? And then, of course, when you sow deception, you reap deception. Right? Isn't it true that what you sow is what you reap? Well, Jacob was deceived, and when he thought he married Rachel, he woke up to Leah, much to his surprise. But he committed to work another 7 years, for a total of 14 years for Laban, because he loved Rachel so much. And I don't know why I got into all that, but it's good too, amen? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 5. Today we want to focus on our relationships outside of our family, like the employer-employee relationships. How many employees are here? Amen? Now, if you're self-employed, you better really love your boss. If you don't love your boss, if you're self-employed, then there's problems. Notice what it says in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. We could say it like this today. Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as how? As unto Christ. Say this with me. Say, I love my boss. Ultimately, who is your boss? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to reward you? The Lord. Now, it doesn't matter. He may use an avenue. He can use whatever avenue he wants to. But ultimately, we are employed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what relationship we have, whatever kind of work relationship we have, we're supposed to work that relationship as how we work our relationship with Christ. Thank you for that one amen. Notice what it says in verse 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from our, how many has ever been in a situation where you're at work and some of the employees are goofing off, right? They're doing whatever. They're not working. They're just carrying on or doing all. But when the boss comes in, oh, we better get busy. The boss is here. But see, that's wrong. Because you're just doing it to please him in the natural. You're not doing it how the Lord wants it. And it's supposed to come from the heart. Okay? And he goes on to say, with goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. But he doesn't leave the employers out. So if you're an employer, verse 9 is for you. And you masters, you employers, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening. A boss shouldn't be threatening his employees or her employees. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So let's break this down, all right? The Bible tells us as employees, we are supposed to be obedient. That is a quality and a characteristic. It ought to be in our hearts. Amen? It should come from within, from the work that Christ is doing within us. And your obedience is not just to be seen, but it's not just outward, but it comes from within. It comes from an attitude of obedience. Does the Lord love you? And because he loves you the way he does, do you want to obey him? See, his love inspires obedience. Obedience is a good thing. If you don't obey your boss, you don't get your paycheck. It's good to obey, amen? Now, as always, in the context of obedience, it's always in what is right and not what is not right. You don't have to obey wickedness. You don't have to obey unrighteousness. Okay? So your obedience is important. And Genesis 31:6, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says that Jacob served Laban with all his heart. And, you know, you could read the story there in Genesis 31 and 32 and 33, how whenever Laban had a loss, Jacob took the loss upon him so that Laban wouldn't lose. Because when he was about ready to leave, Jacob told Laban, he said, your sheep that were in my care, you never lost a one. If there was any losses, I took it so that you wouldn't suffer the loss. So he was protecting his employer. Amen? Jacob was a good employee. And his wages were changed 10 times. How many of you as an employee would like to have your wages changed 10 times? Not increasing, but decreasing. And you go in there and, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to be making this today. What did Jacob do? He said, oh, I'm going to quit because this is unfair. Uh-oh. You know, sometimes we have to evaluate our reasons for staying and our reasons for leaving. You can't leave a place just because the circumstances aren't favorable to you. Ooh, I'm preaching some things today. Why didn't he leave? Because that was part of God's plan. And if you're going to leave, leave on a high note. Jacob got all the speckled and spotted and colored sheep. And if you look at the reports from Laban's sons testified that he became wealthier than Laban. See, sometimes hanging in there, God will get you paid in the end. Amen? How many know that Israel spent 400 years in slavery, but when they left Egypt, God had 400 years of back wages ready for them? They plundered Egypt in one day. by asking their masters for their stuff. Hey, that's a nice coat. Can I have it? Sure. That's a nice watch. Can I have it? Sure. That's a lovely ring. Can I have it? Sure. Okay? Let me give you some tips to be a good, godly employee. Amen? You want to hear these? Okay? Go with me to 1 Timothy 6:1. 1 Timothy 6:1. We already touched on this, but I want you to see this. Now, when he's using the word servant, you just have to put it in your mind as employee, okay? 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Number one, to be a good employee, you need to respect authority. As Christians, we should love authority. Do you realize that understanding authority is a key to great miracles? There was a Roman centurion in Matthew 8 who came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, his servant was sick, near death, and he needed a miracle because he didn't want his employee to suffer. And he knew that Jesus had the answer. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus would have come to his house. But the centurion said, I'm not a man worthy that you should come into my house. But he said, only speak the word and I shall be, and my servant shall be made whole. Because he said this, he said, I am a man under authority and I have people under me. It was the centurion's respect for authority that caused his servant to have a miracle. And it was his respect for authority that Jesus recognized as great faith. So if you want to be a good employee, respect authority. Do you realize that God, authority originates with God? God gives authority so that people within that authority can function. How many know our government needs authority? And thank God that we have a constitution that separates government into three equal powers: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. I'll tell you what, God inspired the men who wrote our constitution. Now we have to be watchful that our constitution is being followed. Are you here today or have you gone home? Okay? So you got to respect authority. Number two is be obedient. We read that in Ephesians 6:5. Servants, obey your masters as you would the Lord in fear and trembling. Okay? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know, we have the privilege that as Christians, when you go to work, do you know who goes with you? The Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that as a Christian employee, you have an advantage because you have grace working, you have the Holy Spirit working, you have his leading and his guide, you have the favor of God, you have his protection? And that ought to inspire us to go beyond the normal mark. What did Jesus say? He said, if your boss, he didn't say your boss, but I'm putting it into this word. If your boss asks you to go a mile, how much should you go? You know, we should always be willing to put forth the best. Why? Because you don't even operate on your strength. God gives you strength to work. You go into that workplace with divine ability, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You know, you need to be faithful. If you want to be a good employee, faithfulness is important, isn't it? What does God look for in a steward? He looks for one thing: faithfulness. Reliability. And In faithfulness is reliability, trustworthiness, able to handle responsibilities. Amen? Say, I'm faithful. You know, faithfulness is important. Oh, I have a thought, but I'm not going to go there. I'll hold that thought, and maybe I can release it later. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And let's look at verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto them, their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Did you know that as a good employee, you need to have a desire to please your employer? As an employee, you entered into an agreement with your employer, didn't you? I will give you so many hours. You agree to, and then they agree to pay you so much for giving you those hours. So you exchange your time for their money. Amen? Isn't that what happens in any relationships? And when you go to work, you have to have a desire to please your boss, to take care of your company, to do your job well, because everything you do and everything you say is a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see in a moment how your attitude will affect everything that you do. Okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm giving you some qualities that will make you a good employee. Well, what if I'm not an employee? How about serving in the church? The same things apply. How many know that faithfulness is important? You know, does your employer expect you to be late every day? What happens if you're late too many times? Okay. What about church? Now, there are unforeseen circumstances, okay? But we should be faithful, shouldn't we? It's important to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. That word fear is respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. If you want to be a good employee, you've got to be patient in hard places. Not every employer is going to treat you like you should be treated, but you know what? They didn't treat Jesus good either. Now, when it was time for him to be crucified, how did he respond to the mistreatment? He didn't say anything. How can I do that? How can I be patient? Do you know how he treated me? Yes, I do. Do you know how they treated Jesus? If you fly off the handle, you're never going to win your boss. And really, ultimately, you're there to bring Christ to that place. You're not just there to earn money. You're there to bring Christ. You're there to bring joy. You're there to bring heaven into that organization. Because we have a greater call and a greater purpose than just to earn money. You have a small window of opportunity when you work in a place, and that is to bring Christ. That is to represent Christ while you're there. That is to take opportunities. Everybody smile really big. Say, this is good. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good. I am so glad that our Bible is practical. Amen? So we got to be patient in hard places. Peter said, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That means the unreasonable. Was Pharaoh unreasonable? You know, could you see Moses? He goes into Pharaoh's court, And he says, let my people go. He was employed by God, wasn't he? And Pharaoh couldn't touch him while he was doing that job. See, when you represent God, the harsh things aren't going. You know, I can't see Moses leaving Pharaoh's court and going to the Israelites. I can't believe it. That he is so unreasonable. I can't believe it. He didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He kept going in, saying, let my people go. When he refused, he would simply release a plague. Next day, he would go in and say, let my people go. And if he didn't, he would simply release the plague. He didn't criticize Pharaoh. How about Nebuchadnezzar? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were employed by Nebuchadnezzar. Matter of fact, they were chosen to learn the arts and the sciences of the Chaldeans, so they were employed by the government. They were government officials. And Nebuchadnezzar made this crazy employee policy that when the music plays at your employee break, everybody's going to bow to the statue. And all the good employees were there bowing their face to this golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. How vain to make a statue of yourself. But there were three employees that were going against company policy. They refused to bow. Number one, because they were employed by God, and God says, don't bow to any idol. I don't care if your employer or your king or whatever tells you to do so. You don't bow to an idol. See, that's a good case. They were obedient to God, not to Nebuchadnezzar. You gotta use wisdom. If your boss gives you a crazy, you know, like there was one boss when Fiona got out of school, she was working for a carpet company that's based in Belgium. And the main person told Fiona, he said, I'm gonna have to teach you to lie in order to make sales. And Fiona said, I don't think so. I'm not going to lie. You're not going to teach me to lie, and I'm never going to lie. Do you know what Fiona did? In integrity, she tripled her sales. She didn't have to lie to do it. She got people to pay their bills that hadn't paid in months and months because she did it by integrity. How many know that you're going to win more favor when you do things right versus doing things wrong? If you want God to work with you, you got to work with God. You got to do what's right in His sight. You got to operate by His principles. Amen. Boy, this is good. I mean, this is like an ice cream sundae that's a whole lot better than what I anticipated. Amen? This is some good stuff. Having the right attitude and action as unto the Lord is the thing that will put you in promotion. Go with me to Genesis 39 for a moment. Genesis 39. This is just simply a great example. Okay? You know, when Joseph was growing up, he had 11 brothers, 4 different mothers in a family. Jacob had 4 wives, 11 brothers, 12 sons from 4 different women. Okay? Isn't that true? And Joseph was born to Jacob in his old age, so Jacob really loved Joseph. But Joseph had this career plan. He had this dream. And he didn't know how this dream was going to come to pass, but all he knew was that people are going to be bowing to me. My brothers, you're going to be bowing to me. Now, they didn't like Joseph already, but yet that news didn't go over well. And the very fact that he walked around with this multicolored coat that was given to him by his father, that didn't sit well either. But how many know that Joseph's career plans took a change? He did not plan to go to Egypt. He did not plan to go there as a slave. Maybe he could attend the university, but he certainly didn't expect to go to Egypt as a slave. Say, Joseph was a slave. He was sold by his brothers. People, don't sell your brothers. Brothers, don't sell your sisters. And so Joseph ended up into a foreign country as a teenager. And he was like, how is this dream that I had in my heart going to come to pass? I'm a slave. How many know that you can be a slave without having a slave mentality? Just because you are physically a slave doesn't make you a slave in your mind. Doesn't make you a slave in your attitude. It doesn't make you a slave in the way you do things. Notice this. Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Say, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, what does the Lord favor? He favors righteousness, holiness, peace, joy. He favors the good attitude, doesn't he? How many know that God will be with those who have a good attitude, no matter what your circumstances are? Say this with me. Say, my circumstances don't dictate what attitude to have. And that's important. When people are in the world, they can't help but their attitude is a direct result of their circumstances because they don't know how to change their circumstances, but we know how to change our circumstances. Our joy doesn't come from circumstances, it comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our promotion comes from God. Now, it's important to know that the Lord was with Joseph, and he what? He was a what? A prosperous man. Wait a minute now. Joseph was an employee of Potiphar. But because the Lord was with him, he was a prosperous and successful man. How many know that the Lord will help you make a difference in your work situation? How can you be a slave and prosper? With God, all things are possible. Listen. With God, an employee could make more than the CEO. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. Uh-oh, there was evidence to a heathen, to an unbeliever, to an ungodly man. You know, in Egypt, they worshiped the sun and the stars and all kinds of things. They worshiped other gods. And whenever Potiphar would give Joseph an assignment, he would do that assignment well. He would have a good attitude. And whatever Joseph did, it increased. And everything that Joseph did, Potiphar was looking. Hey, this is much better. This is much better. This is much better. Everything that I put Joseph in charge of, it gets better. Okay? And the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Who prospered Joseph? The Lord. How come he didn't say his employer prospered him? Did you know that your employer is not your source? Amen. Say, my employer is not my source. I don't care if you're employed by the government and you're on a fixed income, that's not your source. I don't care if you're getting a pension, that's not your source. I don't care if you're an investor and you're getting dividends, that's not your source. I don't care if you're an employee and you have a good job, that's not your source. The Lord Jesus Christ is your source. God is your source. And if you do what's right from your heart, God will make sure that you are taken care of. Amen. Even if he's got to bless a heathen's home. Let's go on and see. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he what? He served him. When you read that, does that sound like Joseph had a bad attitude about Potiphar? Joseph didn't get up and say, I can't believe I got to work for Potiphar. I can't believe he bought me as a prize. I can't believe I'm a slave. He didn't have that attitude. See, if some of us would just adjust our attitude, then God can promote us. Uh-oh. Did you know that I did not get my promotion until I adjusted my attitude? Yeah, I knew that I was called to the ministry. I knew that I was called to preach. I tried to make it happen. I tried to do it, and every time I tried to do it, every time I tried to promote myself, I fell on my face. It wasn't until I changed my attitude that the door of promotion was opened. Once I changed my attitude, it was like, I'm just going to say it like this, holy cow! I can't believe that that adjustment in attitude made such a big difference. And he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. Joseph was promoted by God. And God used Potiphar to promote Joseph. But God was behind the promotion. God was the author of the promotion. God was the source of the promotion. Because God was with him. God made him prosper. All right? And all that he had, he put into his hand. Potiphar said, look, Joseph, I've got other things to worry about. You just take care of all this stuff. I'm not even going to be concerned about this stuff. You just take care of it. And that was all because of his attitude. That was all because of how he went about doing his work. You know, in the world, people will prosper through deceit. But I will guarantee you that that prosperity will not last. It will come back to bite them. Amen? If you want to prosper truly, you got to do things God's ways. Okay? Verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for whose sake? Are you a Joseph for your organization? Can God bless your employer because a righteous person is there representing God's kingdom, representing God's heart? And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person, a goodly person, and well-favored. Joseph had the checkbook of Potiphar's house, and Potiphar didn't even know what was in his account. That's how well of a job Joseph did. Because he knew that God was with him, and he was there representing God and representing his kingdom. We don't read about Joseph complaining about his circumstances. Why did I end up in Egypt? I didn't even want to go to Egypt. Why am I here, God? Why am I here? I'll tell you what, if you treat God that way, he's not going to be with you. He'll say, you little whiny baby. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Is this helping someone today? I'm having a good time preaching about the employer-employee relationship. Notice verse 6. Did you know that you're supposed to do good? It says at the last part of verse 6, doing the will of God. Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. You know, your job is a lot like sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. What you put into your job is what you're going to get out of it. Amen? So I can see Monday morning tomorrow, there's going to be a change. Every employee that's a member of VCF, the bosses are going to say, what happened? Amen. I think God's going to open some doors of prosperity for people. And if you don't have a job and you want one, we're going to pray for you today and God's going to give you one. Amen? How many can trust the Lord for a job? God can open doors of opportunity. He took this slave that went from where he was into Egypt and look what he did with him. Can you imagine Joseph's resume? As he, you know, maybe he applies for another job. Can you list your past experiences? Well, he worked for his father. If you read Genesis 37, Jacob would send Joseph out to report on his brothers. And oftentimes he gave a bad report because they were goofing off. Slave. Worked servant of Potiphar. Manager of a jail. Did you know that Joseph went to prison? See, Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was the chief warden. You know, can you imagine trying to explain to another employer, what was this 2 years in prison? But then, what? Prime Minister of Finance, Secretary of the Treasurer of a nation. Joseph held the purse strings of a nation. Do you realize that God blessed Israel because Joseph was there? Joseph was the one who got Israel's wealth to come there. Because God gave him a plan. Okay? Did you know that you're supposed to do good? As a Christian, we're supposed to do good. Say, I'm a good person, and I do good. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 34:14, it says, depart from evil and do good. When you get born again, the evil stops and the good starts. Amen. We're supposed to do good. What is right? What is just? Can you say amen? Amen. And we're supposed to work with enthusiasm. Amen. Don't show up to work like this. Oh. Where's the coffee? Are we not supposed to have joy in our hearts? You better, some of us need to remind our face that joy is on the inside. You better turn on the joy faucet and let it show up, amen? We're supposed to serve with a good attitude. All right? Now, if you're an employer and you pay people to work for you, let me give you some tips on how to be a good employer. Some of you should know this because God may want you to be an employer. Hello? I believe God's got some businesses in some of you. There's some things that are inside of you that you can do to generate income. Abraham was a businessman. He dealt in sheep and cattle. And the Bible said that in Genesis 13, he was very rich. He had 318 employees. Can you see yourself having employees? Some of you need to change from being an employee to an employer. Come on. Say, I'm an employer. Okay? Go to Deuteronomy 24:15. Deuteronomy 24:15. If you want to be a good employer, it says this, at his day you shall give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and sets his heart upon it, lest he cry against you unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto you. You need to pay your employees promptly. Say that 10 times fast. Pay employees promptly. If you want to be a good employer, pay your people promptly. Amen? Pay them well. Matter, who's the source of your business? God. When you read the story of Eliezer in Genesis 24, Eliezer was Abraham's manager. He managed all of his household affairs, and it was Eliezer that Abraham sent to find a wife for Isaac. Now, you don't read Eliezer complaining about how bad Abraham was. He goes around telling people, my master is so blessed of the Lord. My master has been increased by God. And he's bringing 10 camels of stuff with him. I'm telling you, Abraham treated Eliezer well. He paid him well. He shared his wealth. And he was trusted. Do you realize in Abraham's mind, he was going to give his inheritance to Eliezer until God said that you're going to have an Isaac? Eliezer was set to inherit all of Abraham's stuff because they had that kind of a relationship. I better get him moving. Okay? Job 31:13. If you want to be a good employer, do this. Job 31:13. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? You need to show consideration to your employees. Listen to their complaints. Solve problems. Try to help your employees. Amen? Amen? If you want to be a good employer, this is what we need to do. Okay? Ephesians 6:9, we read it. Don't threaten your employees. You know, next week, when we talk about friendships, we're going to talk about never get into a relationship with an angry man. You don't want to miss that next week. I'm just giving you a little hors d'oeuvre to kind of whet your appetite. Okay? And then go to Colossians 4:1. Colossians 4:1. You know what? If anything, this will help you pray for your boss. Pray for your employer. Colossians 4:1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Be just in your dealings with them. Pay them fair, reasonable, amen? So as an employee, this is what we should do. Go with me to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. I want to show you, remember I talked about how your circumstances don't dictate to you whether or not you should leave or stay a place? Maybe God just wants to see what kind of character you are when the pressure's turned on. Maybe this is only a character test to see if you're really going to have faith in God or you're just going to go by the circumstances. Genesis 16. Sarah came up with this plan, and she knew that they were supposed. Abraham was a father of many nations. Now, it doesn't seem like Abraham really shared the vision like he should with Sarah, okay? Because if Abraham would have shared the vision with Sarah, she wouldn't have come up with this crazy plan, okay? And Sarah tells Abraham that she's going to give Hagar, her servant, to Abraham for his wife. Now, women, you don't want to offer another woman to your husband because he said, okay. Didn't seem like Abraham put up much of a fight. Didn't seem like Abraham said, oh, Sarah, no, no, no. Shame on Abraham. So, he married Hagar, and she conceived. And she started mocking Sarah because Sarah couldn't conceive. Okay? And so, Sarah, look at verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I have given my maid unto your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, it was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and you. Whose plan was this in the first place? Sarah's plan. And now she's telling Abraham, you be the judge. And Abraham, verse 6, Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, your maid is in your hands. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, I want you to notice the way in which Sarah dealt with her. It was harsh. It was hard. It was unreasonable. Okay? Sarah was not being a good employer. She fled from her. Why did Hagar flee? She fled because of the way she was being treated. Okay? That's not always an excuse to leave. When should you leave someplace? When God says to leave. Because when God says to leave, you're going to leave with his blessing. But if you leave before God says leave, you're not going to get the blessing. Notice what happens here. And the angel of the, okay, so she fled, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur, and he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her hands. I could just see Hagar saying, what? What are you talking about? I just heard from God to go back to my mistress Sarah. I can't believe it. Let me tell you something. It wasn't time for her to go yet. I'll tell you why. She had a seed of Abraham in her. Even though it wasn't the promise, even though he wasn't going to be the promise, he still came from Abraham and God still wanted to bless him. Because when you read when Abraham sent her away in Genesis 21, I think it is, the Bible said that when Ishmael was 13 and Abraham sent them away with water and bread and they ran out of water, and so she put Ishmael by a tree and she got within a bow shot because she didn't want to see her son die. The Bible said God heard the boy. You read it. God heard the boy. Where did he learn to pray? He learned to pray from Abraham. You read it. God heard the boy. Well, let's just go there. Because when Abraham, see, what happened was Ishmael was mocking Isaac, and Sarah wasn't going to have any of it, okay? Verse 9 of Genesis 21, Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Listen, this was Abraham's son that he had lived with for 13 years. I don't care what you think. You're still going to have feelings for your son. You're still going to love your son. And God said unto Abraham, let it be not grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of your bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto you, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. Now God is telling Abraham. He's having a word from God to send her on her way now. See, God, when she left the first time, God wasn't even involved. But now God is telling Abraham, okay, do what Sarah said. Okay? And also the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is your seed. See, God honored his covenant with Abraham. And look down to verse 17 when they were in the wilderness. And God heard the voice of who? The lad. Where did he know how to pray? It must have been from his 13 years with Abraham. How did God hear his voice if he didn't know how to pray? Amen? I had the same reaction when I saw that. I went, But do you see my point? Look at The conditions in Egypt were bad, and they got increasingly worse. But how come Israel wasn't allowed to leave in 380 years? Because God had already told Abraham after 400 years they're going to leave. It wasn't until God sent a deliverer into Egypt, that was the time and that was the moment that God had ordained for them to come out. See, when you leave a place without God's advice, without God's instruction, without God's leading, you're on your own. And the Lord may appear to you and say, you need to go back, because I didn't tell you to go. The Lord's probably saying, who told you to go? You know the story of Elijah? After he defeated the prophets of Baal, a messenger came to Elijah with a letter from Jezebel. Now, Jezebel had a ruthless reputation. She killed people. She took Naboth's vineyard. She had him killed and took his vineyard because Ahab was crying on her lap. So she had a reputation of killing people. But if she really could have killed Elijah, she would have sent an assassin and not a mailman. So Elijah gets this letter. After having this great victory, he now suffers his greatest defeat. And he reads this letter and he gets all distraught and he starts having a pity party. And all these thoughts are saying, you're the only one. You're all alone. You better get out of here. And so he leaves and he runs. And the Lord even feeds him, but he runs in the wrong direction. And he ends up in a cave. And God said, what are you doing here? God didn't lead him to the cave. God didn't tell him to go to the cave. Let me tell you something. If you're in a tough situation, that's an opportunity for you to be tougher. And you wait until God, listen, if God is your God, he will lead, God, and direct you. He knows exactly, he's got perfect timing. And when you do it in God's timing, you'll experience his blessing. But if you leave in your time, you may have to go across that bridge that you burned. Amen? That's why you don't want to burn bridges, because you might have to cross it again. Is this helping someone today? You know Cornelius? He had some employees that he could trust in Acts 10. He told his employees what God told him. I want you to go to a street called Straight. There you're going to find Paul in this house, right? And he told them exactly what God told him, and he entrusted them to communicate this message and go get Paul, right? So the two servants went, and they were assigned by Cornelius. They went to the house. They found Paul. God spoke to them. It was Peter. Please forgive me. He went and sent for Peter because even though Cornelius was a good man, he was missing something. He needed the Holy Ghost. And he didn't know what he needed. He just knew he needed to get Peter. And so they sent him to where Peter was. And I want you to see that his employees were faithful. His employees carried out his instruction. His employees accomplished the task. Can you say amen? And that's how God wants us to be. Not only are you given tasks by your natural employer, but each one of us is given a task from our spiritual employer. Are you doing everything that God called you to do? Are you making yourself available? You know, we have different ministries in this church. We have the sound ministry, kitchen ministry, VCF Cares, bookstore, our youth, Barnabas Group, Woven, Kids Life. Did I miss anything? Huh? Prayer. Yeah, we have intercessory prayer. Maybe God is leading you. Oh, we have the maintenance. Can't forget the maintenance. How many know it takes a lot of people to keep seven acres of grass mowed? It takes a lot of people to make sure that we have a lot that we can come up here and gather together like this today. And maybe you are an able person that God is calling to get involved. Could Miss Dottie use some more help in the kitchen? More people that want to make food and clean up, amen? How many know that we should have enough people where Miss Dottie shouldn't have to clean up every week? Well, it's going to take your participation. Luke could use some people and maintenance. We're coming up with spring. We got some big projects. We got to fill in the cracks of our parking lot. Don't know where they came from, but they need to be taken care of. But you know, God designed the church to be a family. Amen. And we need to take the principles that we would give to our employer. Now, you may volunteer in the church and you may not get paid physically, but I guarantee you that God will bless you. I guarantee you that God will reward you. You're not going to be left out. When you serve God, you cannot beat God serving or giving. From those of you that serve, has God blessed you? Amen. Amen. And, you know, we have to have all these things in place so that we can do what God's called us to do for the community. You know, God's not going to send 3,000 people here if we're not ready for it. But having everything in place and having it, that's part of getting ready for the harvest. I believe with all my heart that what we do here is what God wants us to do. And because you're here, I believe that God wants you to get involved and to participate. Amen? And it's in a mutual exchange that takes place. But we have to have these qualities and characteristics that are found in these people. You know, Jesus had a team of 12, didn't he? And they were a mixed matched bunch of people, weren't they? Fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. You know, he had some people that wanted to call thunder, lightning on people, call fire down from heaven on people. And on Jesus' team was a thief. He kept stealing the money from the treasury. And they worked with Jesus. They traveled with Jesus. Was it always glamorous? Was it always fun? Did people criticize them? You know, when Jesus talked about you eat my body and you drink my blood, so many people left his ministry that he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. But if you want to be promoted on your job, stop complaining and start praising God. Start praying for your employer. Start being Christ to your associates, the people who you work with. Be Christ in your attitude. Be Christ in your actions. Be Christ in your lifestyle. Avoid foolish arguments. You're not there to argue. And you're not there necessarily to be a soul winner with, let me say it this way. You're there to be a soul winner, but your first priority on your job is to serve your employer. And the way that you be a soul winner is how you do things, how you carry out things, how you handle things. I guarantee you that when you live like Christ on the job, your fellow employees will ask you questions. And when they ask you questions, you have an open door to share the love and the word of God with them. Every job that I was on, I worked for a Freightliner dealership. I'm not even into trucks. You know, that's just not my thing. It's not me. But I did it. And when some of the employees were sick, I would ask to pray for them. And I'd be out in the mechanic shop, and I'd be out praying for people. I just took a minute or so. I didn't take a whole lot of time. But I lay my hands on them, and I just say a prayer in Jesus' name, be healed. I did that for people. I did it at the bank. I did it wherever I went. Because, you know, I worked a lot of jobs. And I will say that this is the longest place that I've ever worked. Because this is what I'm supposed to do. All those other things were just getting me ready for this. Amen? But why don't you stand to your feet? Some of you may have to get this message and listen to it over and over again. But if you're here today and you don't have a job, but you need a job and you want a job, or you want a different job or a better job, I want to pray for you today. Amen? Because I believe this. When you prosper, God's kingdom prospers. God wants his children to prosper. We're going to talk about that sometime this year. I don't know what month, but we're going to talk about what it really means to prosper and true biblical prosperity. I know that I need to increase my faith on that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I just heard a good report. I won't mention who, but one of our members just paid off their house. Praise God. Let's give a praise to God for that. Hallelujah. But if you need a job, or you want a job, or you want a better job, I want you to come up and I want you to pray for you. And if you're struggling on your job, if you need things to change in your job situation, we can change it through the anointing. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know that the anointing can change atmospheres?
Amen.
Amen. We serve an awesome God. And he'll be right there with you, punching in the time clock. At your station and doing whatever you do, he'll be right there with you because he loves you and he wants to be involved in your life. He'll be there with you when you make bread. He'll be there with you when you take care of school classrooms. He'll be there with you when you're working on those rigs. He'll be there with you when you're painting walls. He'll be there with you when you're standing guard as a soldier. He'll be there with you when you build things and put things together. He'll be there. Amen? And that's our ultimate goal, is to bring Christ to our workplace. There's no one here that needs a job? No one here that needs a better job? Come on, you got to step out in faith.
Frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you. All my day.
Come on, just stand up here. We're going to anoint you.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Because I believe that everyone that comes up here is going to put into practice what we taught today. You have something to share?
I will obey your word.
Hallelujah. We're going to believe God today. Amen? Say this. Those of you that are up here right now, say, I believe God. Hallelujah. He can open doors. And some of you have seen it to some degree, but you're going to see it in greater ways. Amen? So you're ready to receive an anointing to increase and to prosper? Hallelujah.
God's
getting ready to upscale you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for opening the doors.